This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Good news for those of you who like Starbucks coffee. You can now go to Starbucks. Well, unless, of course, you use a third-party app like a DoorDash or Uber Eats. You're not going to be able to do this. You're going to be able to bring your own cup to Starbucks. Yay! And use your own cup, your own personal cup at Starbucks. You just have to tell them on the app, under the customization button during the ordering process, or just bring it into the store and say, hey, fill this one up. And they give the mug to the barista in the pickup area where the drink is made and then given back in a contactless vessel. I'm not sure what that contactless vessel is. Is it just rubber gloves on a barista? Is it some tweezers? I don't know what the contact is. A robot, maybe? But the contactless vessel will then give you your mug with coffee back. Now, you have to remember, you have to clean them before you bring them. Yeah, the baristas aren't going to rinse them out. And for those of you thinking, I'm going to bring an oil can in and fill up my oil can full of Starbucks coffee. That's my large coffee. No. Can't do that. No cups larger than 40 ounces. But you can bring at least 40 ounces in for your large cup at Starbucks. And I'm sure they're mad at me because they're not larges. I know. I got it. But really, they are. Plus, you're going to get a 10-cent discount and 25 stars on the Change Rewards program. So, hey, how cool is that, huh? Bring your own cup at Starbucks. They're also working on borrow a cup programs. They've apparently been working on that for a while. I question the borrow a cup program, but they tested it in Seattle where you paid like a dollar deposit and had to return the recyclable cup to a smart bin and you get your dollar back. And they've tested those programs in Seattle and Japan, Singapore, and the UK. I don't know how those are working out. I don't know that I want to use the recycled cup. I don't know that I trust the barista to clean it, but I guess you have to. So, but I don't have to worry about it now because I can bring my own cup. And I am looking forward to seeing what a contactless vessel is. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Okay, here we go again. Lake Superior State University. I love Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, which is in the Upper Peninsula. This is the Lower Peninsula, and the Upper Peninsula is up here. Sault Ste. Marie is way up there. They have a tradition of listing the words that need to be banned from the previous year. Now, they received more than 2,000 suggestions from 20 different countries. That's what they said. And the number one word this year that needs to be banned is hack. Hack. H-A-C-K. So don't use it anymore. All right, it needs to be banned. Since 1976, more than 1,000 everyday terms have been banished, some of them more than once. Last year, goat topped the list. Before that, it was, wait, what? It was just more than one word, I might add. And no real surprise, COVID-19, again, more than one word, banished in 2021. 2020 was jelly, was the top word to be banished. Not the fruits bed spread, obviously, but the abbreviation of jealous, which we know still happens. Some people may have not got the message. That's all. So there are 10 words that have been banished this year that we're not supposed to use it. Okay. So hack, obviously, is number one. Coming in at number two, impact. Impact. I-M-P-A-C-T. Banished word. Can't use it anymore. At the end of the day, I guess these are just banished words, but banished, I mean, also phrases, right? But it says banished words, so because we've just moved down. And how about you just shut up, Jeff, and read what they've banned, okay? At the end of the day is number three. Four is Riz. Yeah, that Riz was a big one. I thought that was the, like, one of the top words of the year. Slay, or phrases of the year. Number five, slay, S-L-A-Y. Number six, iconic. Number seven, cringeworthy. Number eight, obsessed. Number nine, side hustle. And number 10, wait for it. No, not the, no, that's what they, that's the phrase, that the two or three words that needs to be banned. Wait for it. Not, you don't actually have to wait for it. So can't use those anymore. They need to be banned completely. Thanks to the university up there in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, the Lake Superior State University. So we just need to stop using the, what they call cringeworthy words, but cringeworthy isn't part of the banished words. All right. All right. If you say so, no problem. Now, the university has a very scientific way of creating their list every year, okay? They get suggestions. As I said, they got over 2,000 suggestions from 20 different countries. And the English department decides which words will be banished. So, man, you want to talk about science. That is a scientific way to talk about banished words. So, don't use them. Don't use them. I don't want to hear you. Not once use the word hack this year. That you're going to see them everywhere, obviously. But they are agonizing. The one that I see all the time that drives me crazy is side hustle. I will say that. When I see the list, yeah, cringeworthy. Number seven. Thank you. That's what I thought it was on the list. And they use it in their story. What are we? I thought they were banned. If you're banning phrases and words, you can't use them in the story. Sorry, that's the way it works. I thought, but apparently, once again, what do I know? Well, nothing. Nothing is what I know. I will say I do know this. This is one way every year that the university, Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, makes people aware that they exist. Because unless you don't see this banishment list every year, you have no idea that Lake Superior State University exists. And Sault Ste. Marie, you don't want to, holy cow, that's up there. I mean, that's cold business up there. Plus, the snow and, oh, man. I'm sure it's a fine university. Absolutely love Lake Superior State University. I had forgotten that its former name was the Michigan College of Mining and Technology. That's why I keep forgetting them. And then they went to Lake Superior State College of Michigan Technological University. And then they went to Lake Superior State College. So now we are at the Lake Superior State University. The colors are blue and gold. So I mean, it's not maize and blue like the University of Michigan, but blue and gold. And their mottos are Believe in Blue and Redefining the Classroom. Oh, that's special. And their nickname is the Lakers. Huh. So the Lake Superior State University Lakers. I'm sure they've got an excellent team sport program. And their mascot is Seymour the Sea Duck. And Foghorn the Sailor. Man, when you see Seymour the Sea Duck, it makes you want to see Foghorn the Sailor that much more. So there you have it with the Lake Superior State University. It's a fine, fine, fine university. So if you're an organic food customer, you probably haven't been eating organic food. Just saying. I see where a man in St. Paul, Minnesota, a 66-year-old man in St. Paul, Minnesota, James Clayton Wolf, a corn and a soybean farmer in beautiful Jeffers, Minnesota. He pleaded guilty to the scheme. He lost his organic certification back in 2020, but that didn't change his, what they call, scam. He went and purchased rail cars full of grain and then sold them as certified organic, which they were not. So because he was getting more money for the organic soybeans and corn, he decided, hey, I'll just tell people it's organic and I'll get more money. The judge was unhappy. The judge said, I'm an organic food consumer myself, and I don't like being a victim of organic grain fraud. So he and his godson and his nephew, I think, were also found because they had signed insurance documents. They got like supervised prohibition, probation, and 100 hours of community service because they had signed some insurance documents. But James got 3 years. Now, the government was looking to throw him in jail for 5 years or prison for 5 years. So the judge was pissed, but she wasn't that pissed because she only gave him 3 years. So if you've been thinking that, oh, man, that organic grain that I've been using, the corn and the soy, yeah, it's not. It wasn't organic at all. Because James Clayton Wolf was just buying regular corn and grain and selling it to the organic people. Now, he's been doing this for a long time. And there was a consolidation of some company that he purchased grain from, or that he sold. I think it was the consolidation of the company that he purchased the grain from, but he would buy train cars of the corn and the soy and then sell them to a company in Pennsylvania as organic. It's not funny. I'm glad this man is behind bars. Okay, I am so pissed right now that I could have been eating organic corn and soy, I could have been thinking that I was eating organic corn and soy, but I wasn't. I mean, the horror. They took a bunch of stuff from his farm, too. This is where the forfeiture comes into play, right? So the judge took over some land and some tractors and some sports cars that he used the tainted funds to purchase after he'd been found guilty, by the way, not before. And so the judge even said in her statement that she believed that he would return from prison and resume farming, because he said in his statement that he loved farming and he had sorrow, and that he let the temptations to gain additional money overtake his good judgment. But then the judge said he's going to resume farming, but he's going to come back and he's not going to have the new pieces of land or the tractors. He may have to go back to selling, tainted. See, the thing is, the corn and the soy weren't tainted. They just weren't organic. So that's all. I just love the whole idea of, oh, these are organic. These are made with organic corn and grain. No, they weren't. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So Nigel Lithgow, I don't know if you know who Nigel is, but he's a Brit who has produced and judged several competition shows in the U.S. and the U.K., Gladiators, American Idol, So You Think You Can Dance, and he's been a choreographer on several other projects, like So You Think You Can Dance, and I'll give him the credit, Musical Time Machine and One More Time. Love those, man, can't get enough of those. But Gladiators, American Idol, and So You Think You Can Dance were huge shows. Gladiators was on for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. American Idol, isn't that still going? Anyway, his American Idol was 2002 to 2014. That's when he was producer. And So You Think You Can Dance That's probably still on as well, but his part of it was 2005 to 2014 too. So for many years, I mean, he was doing both those shows, making a lot of money. Nigel is in trouble. He's got a few sexual assault allegations going up against him. One of them from Paula Abdul. Okay, so Paula just filed a suit against Lithgow on Friday. That was prior to the deadline of California's Sexual Abuse and Cover-Up Accountability Act. Now, she wanted to get this in. She stayed quiet for years, but she couldn't. She had to say something now, right? She just had to do it, and she claims that Lithgow assaulted her during the time that she worked for American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance. Now, she didn't say anything because she was afraid to get fired and she wanted the job, which actually did happen. She continued to have her job for many years and make a lot of money. Now, Nigel says that not only are the claims false, they are deeply offensive to me and to everything I stand for. Paula's history of erratic behavior is well known. I can't pretend to understand exactly why she would file a lawsuit that she must know is untrue. But I can promise I will fight this appalling smear with everything I have. Okay, so we'll see. He claims now he's going to fight back. Paula said, hey, I signed a non-disclosure agreement as part of her employment on both shows, and that prevented me from publicly disclosing sensitive information. Not in today's world, Paula. Look around. I mean, that hasn't stopped people for years now. But okay, if that's what you say, no problem. So, she also said that she feared that he was going to retaliate against her, and that he would call her. He called her once and said, 7 years and the statute of limitations had run out. He wanted to rub it in and taunt her with it. That's what she said. I'm just saying what Paula reported. Okay. Now she said that the first sexual assault occurred while Abdul and Lithgow were on board on the road filming auditions for an earlier season of American Idol. Abdul says Lithgow groped her in the elevator of their hotel after a day of filming and began shoving his tongue down her throat. She pushed him away and ran to her hotel room when the elevator doors opened. Okay. So she claimed, in tears, I quickly called one of my representatives to inform them of the assault, but ultimately decided not to take action for fear that he would have fired me from American Idol. Huh. Interesting. Which she was on for, I don't know, the first 8 seasons. And then he was so horrible that she decided to work for him again on So You Think You Can Dance. And that was around that time that Lithgow forced himself on top of her during a dinner at his home and tried to kiss her. So let's stop for one moment. She already is claiming that she was assaulted once by this guy in the elevator. He put his tongue down her throat and tried to wrap his arms around her, and she had to push him away and run away. But a few years later, you know what? I'll have dinner with you at your home. No problem. So that's when he forced himself on top of her during a dinner at his home and tried to kiss her. She said again, I pushed Lithgow away and immediately left. Uh-huh. And she only worked for 2 seasons on that show. Oh, okay. Only 2 seasons. All right. No problem. We'll see. We'll see. You know, some of it sounds a little fishy. Like, Paula doesn't need the money, right? She just doesn't need the money. So there's 2 other people now that have filed suits against Lithgow. And this is an assault on Jane Doe, which is Jane Doe KG, and another Jane Doe KN. And they say that they've suffered emotional distress, embarrassment, loss of self-esteem, and will to continue to incur expenses for medical and psychological treatment, counseling, and or therapy. Okay, stop it. What horrific thing did Nigel do to Jane Doe KG and Jane Doe KN? Well, let's take a look, shall we? Once at his home, according to this, he made sexual advances to both of them. He attempted to kiss Jane Doe KG pushing her body close to his. I don't know how they're getting by in life. I just don't know how they're surviving. Are you okay? Come on now. Just stop. I know. If it's true, he's a douchebag. Or he's really not. He's just a douche. He's just a guy looking for a little business. And you said no. So, and nothing else happened. I can't. And then there's the crazy story out of Florida. I know. Surprise. This is not a Florida man. This is a Florida woman story. She is Cynthia Ann Ray. Now, she was arrested and charged with a count of aggravated stalking and one count of sending written threats. Okay, you do not want to. Well, I'm sorry. Sending written threats to kill. So you don't. She's in trouble. Cynthia's in trouble. Plus, she's crazy. We've all known Joni Tonys, and we've all known, you know, fatal attraction-ish women in real life, haven't we? No? That's just me? Oh, okay. So anyway, she was all wound up at her ex-boyfriend, all right? And she said that she was going to kill him and his new girlfriend. Well, you know, unless they had sex with her and they had a threesome. Wait, what? Yeah, that's what she said. That's what she said. Now, the boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend, he claimed that she's been harassing them and... you know, she slashed his tire, his driver's side tires on a new truck to his current girlfriend's vehicle. And after it was parked outside of his home. And then after he fixed the damaged tires, she punctured the tires a second time and then stayed outside the house while honking her horn. I mean, I don't know. It's not funny because it's crazy. And like I said, we've all had crazy neighbors and crazy, you know, Joni Tonys in our life. He also claimed that she would show up at his house and multiple occasions, just show up. And he started receiving texts telling him that she wanted to kill him and his current girlfriend unless... you know, you had a threesome. Unless we do a threesome. And I want to do a threesome with you, then I won't kill you. And he had other messages on his phone that he showed the police where Ray continued to say, that's the last night I keep thinking that that's the guy, Cynthia Ann Ray. Cynthia sent him that she was going to kill him and that she demanded that she wanted to see him. She didn't care. She was going to continue to harass him. So when they showed up to arrest Cynthia, she was inside a tent at her mother's property. So even her mother didn't want to live with her. I'm just staying in a tent now. Oh, okay. So she's in jail now, and she goes before a judge. I don't know, in 2 or 3 weeks. But you could have that. You could have that going on. That's, I mean, holy cow. I don't know what you do other than I guess you have to. Well, you can't do that either. So never mind. Just what a nightmare. What a nightmare. And I have been around Joni Tonys, and I have been around crazy neighbors that you can't do anything about because they don't really break the law, but they yell and scream and they throw stuff and they drive by the house real slow. And I could just go, I mean, there was one lady that used to live across from my parents' house in Florida. And she was whacked out of her mind. But it didn't start that way. When she first moved in, she was nice. And then I forget what happened. Something broke the cord. Maybe she ran out of meds. I don't know. But it was off the deep end then. And I kept telling, you know, I'd tell my folks, don't let her get to you. But she would get to me. And it's just, I don't know. You can't do what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, and you can't do that. So it's good that at least this guy in Florida, you know, went to the authorities and got some help. Because what you're thinking, yeah, you can't do that. Although it does remind me of, the old joke of, I helped my neighbor bury a rolled up piece of carpet today. Her boyfriend would have helped her, but he's out of town. Think about it. Reminder to follow me on the socials. You got X at JeffyJFR. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can always email the show, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can always order a cameo from me. That's not free. At JeffyJFR. And so just, you know, do the deals. Thank you. Appreciate it. Be sure to subscribe to the show. If you're listening and you're not a subscriber, what are you doing? Okay. Nobody likes a freeloader. It's okay. The show is free to subscribe to, but that's fine. But you need to be a subscriber. If you're listening on somebody else's device or somebody else's subscription, you're a freeloader. And to be honest, nobody likes you. Okay? Don't be that person. Don't be that person. Who died today? Who died today? Well, Tom Smothers of the Smothers Brothers. Yeah, he had a brother. Remember Dick? Yes, okay. So Tommy was the older brother, and Dick was the younger brother. Dick actually is still alive. He was the one who announced that his brother Tom had passed away. Very sad. He had cancer. They were still going to tour. They were doing all kinds of stuff. And then he got cancer last year, or at least he announced that he had cancer last year. And he passed away at his home with family and friends around him. Very sad. I was just watching a stupid bit from the Smothers Brothers. They used to do comedy and music, and you can't find good, clean entertainment like that anymore, right? I was watching an old Carson segment, and they were on with Johnny, and so that's why I was watching that. Smothers Brothers. It was not part of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, which I actually don't know that I ever watched the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour with my grandfather, but I do remember, you know, the Smothers Brothers. Anyway, Tommy Smothers, I guess they called him Tom. I'm calling him Tommy. He's passed away at the age of 86. Then we have Francois Bournet. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Francois Bournet. Francoise Bournet. Francois Bournet. She has passed away at the age of 93. And I know what you're thinking. Wait, who is Francois Bournet? Well, do you remember the photo from Paris? The kiss by the hotel. By the Hotel de Ville. It was taken back in 1950. It's this couple kissing. They were embracing on the street. It became this huge success in the 80s. It was taken in 1950 by a photographer, Robert Dossino. And that was with her boyfriend. Her and her boyfriend were the ones that were kissing. And when it became a big deal back in the 80s, a bunch of people stepped up and said, "Hey, that's us. You owe us money." And Francois was like, "No, that's me, and that's my boyfriend. And oh, here, by the way, is the original photo signed by the photographer. So why don't you all just shut up and stop lying, okay?" And so she became famous. She was an actress for many years as well. And they were just out in the streets. They were going to school. They were at an acting school, I think. And then they were taking pictures, and the photographer said, "Hey, here's a couple of bucks. Why don't you guys, I love the way you guys look when you're kissing. Go ahead and kiss and embrace, and I'm going to take some shots. And then, you know, here's a couple of bucks." And it was virtually just, you know, nowhere around. Then someone in a commercial agency that owned the photos was going through these old pictures looking for something, and they found it. It's one of the big, the classic photos for Paris ever. And she sold the original copy of the photo, I don't know, back in 2005 for like, I don't know, 150,000 euros or something like that, which seems nothing. 2005, she put that on the market today. You're making more than 150,000 euros, I'll tell you that. And so the whole thing, all the photographer, the boyfriend, her husband, and her, all dead now. But the picture, the photograph, the kiss by the Hotel de Ville lives on forever. Rest in peace, Francois Bournet. Okay, I want to know how this happens. I want to know how this happens, all right? So a 16-year-old boy mistakenly boards a Frontier Airlines flight from Tampa, thinking he's going to Cleveland, but ended up in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Okay, so first of all, let's stop there for a moment. You get on the wrong plane. I don't know how you get on the wrong plane. I guess they don't look at your tickets. The flight attendants aren't doing their jobs. I don't know. But you're on the wrong plane. They say, while you're sitting there, thank you for flying Frontier. We're on our way to San Juan, Puerto Rico. As a 16-year-old, don't you say, hey, I was supposed to be going to Cleveland. Guess we're not going to Cleveland, huh? I mean, that's what, don't you say something there at the gate? I guess not. So then the flights were boarding, I guess, sequentially at the same gate, which seems a little strange, but okay. And he unintentionally boarded the San Juan bound flight. So he claims that he asked someone for help and no one checked his ticket and simply allowed him to board the wrong flight. Man, do I find that hard to believe. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how, but he did it. And I find it hard to believe that no one on these flights are helping this guy. So then, he lands in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and decides, hey, this is in Cleveland. I want to go back. So Frontier flies him back to Tampa on the same aircraft and arranged for a flight to Cleveland the next day. And the airline obviously extended sincere apologies to the family for the error. Okay. Children, I think age 15 and older can fly alone, but I guess Frontier doesn't have a formal unaccompanied minor program with escorts, which is kind of strange because I thought they all did. Maybe they do only for younger children, but it says here in the story that they do not have that program. I just find that strange. I don't know how it happens. Really weird. Just me. I mean, I'm dealing with the airlines and airports and travel. That seems like something that couldn't happen, but it did. And I from the very beginning, the whole thing, I don't know how you get on the plane. And okay, so we're looking forward to getting you to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and you say nothing. I had my headphones on. Okay. Somebody asked me what I was listening to, and I said Chewing the Fat, and then I just thought we were going to Cleveland. Okay. All right. No problem. Have fun. But the airline took care of it, and he's now in Cleveland and probably wants to be back in Puerto Rico. Although that probably isn't true either. That's tough times when you want to be in Cleveland instead of Puerto Rico. So congratulations are in order to Willis Gibson. Willis Gibson, a 13-year-old, who has become the first player to officially beat the original Nintendo version of Tetris. Congratulations. Oh, actually, he goes by Blue Scuddy and in the gaming world. And he made it to what gamers call a kill screen, a point where the Tetris code glitches, crashing the game. That's a pretty big deal, because I didn't think you could do that. I didn't think anybody could ever do that. And even many people in the gaming industry didn't think you could do that, because they even talk about how for years they were stuck in the 20s and the 30s levels because they didn't know techniques to get any further. Level 29 posed, I guess, this big roadblock. I never reached 29. And the game controller couldn't respond. The blocks would fall too fast. You couldn't respond fast enough. So then players found ways that they could reach level 30 using a technique called hyper tapping. You could use that for many meanings, but what they're talking about is the game. So during the game, they hyper tapped, and that would the player would rhythmically vibrate their fingers to move the game controller faster than the game's built-in speed. And that technique took players to levels 35 and beyond. And that only happened, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, something like that. I remember reading about that. I don't necessarily remember that it was called hyper tapping. But, okay, if you want to hyper tap so you can rhythmically vibrate your fingers so the controller moves faster, I'm all about it. It's fine with me. So then they found out that the gamer started using a multi-finger technique. Just stop. Don't even. Why are you looking at me like that? Don't. I'm just telling you what they call it. So this multi-finger technique, this is not hyper tapping. This micro or multi-finger technique originally used on arcade games, and they call it rolling, and it's a much speedier approach, and that helped one player reach level 95 a couple years ago, but he still stopped, right? They couldn't get to it. So then we've got Willis, my man Willis, who using hyper-tapping, finally hit the level, and it reached the kill screen on level 157. 157. So congratulations to... Oh, I'm sorry. It's not... Man, I keep calling the kid his real name, Willis Gibson. That's not his name, okay? He goes by Blue Scuddy, okay? So Blue Scuddy defeated Tetris on level 157, where it just glitched out and crashed. So congratulations. If you think it can't be done, you're wrong. But you're not going to get there simply, you're not going to get there by hyper tapping. It will help you get there if you hyper tap, but then you need to move to the multi-finger technique, which who isn't a fan of the multi-finger technique? So I was shown this website the other day, and I can't stop looking at it now, and it's going around the country. It's called hoodmaps.com, HoodMaps.com. So if you want to have a little fun, for, I don't know, a little bit of time, you can go to hoodmaps.com and type in your city, and then it has, they give you what's happening around your city. Like I typed in Dallas, and it has overpriced condos from Compton to Portlandia, Super Sketch, Danger Zone, No-No Zone, to be gentrified in 25 years. I pay Dallas taxes way outside of Dallas. white liberals, more white liberals. It's really funny. It's a bail bond boulevard, and it'll take you around the cities and let you know, where the hoods are. A little Mexico, no one goes here. Really funny. So you can go to hoodmaps.com and then type in your city, and you can find out, where the Super Sketch and the Danger Zone, no-no zones are. And especially, if you're in any kind of trouble, you want to know where Bail Bond Boulevard is, don't you?
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.